That's some of the amazing beginnings of what God did. And today we get to celebrate that and recognize that our story never starts with us. God's way bigger than our story. And it's the story of lives that hear from Him. And it's how God is faithful, not just to us, but it's how He's faithful to the generations. We haven't been here all 40 years. But every one of us in this room have somehow been blessed by the 40 years of this church. Because God takes people that we don't even know about, and He takes moves of God that aren't in our view, and He uses them to get us ready for the plan He has for our lives. And so it's a joy this morning to come together and to think that God has loved you and I so much that He took a group of people 40 years ago, people who sacrificed, people who, they were just living life and trying to make things work, and they were just trying to raise their families or do their jobs well. And yet as they took steps of faith, as they said yes to what God had for them, that it was all part of a plan that as we would come to Christ, as we would be in our community, as we would see our schools, that we could be in a place to say, Lord, with what You've given through these people, not only change my life, but make me someone who changes the lives of others. And so we want to focus on that gift of legacy and what God has done. You'll notice that image of kind of passing the torch and the idea of stars that shine. And we're going to talk about that today. And we have the gift of having Pastor Roden, who was the one from West End that released church members to start Cornerstone. Can we say welcome again to him? And then we have just the key leader that for 22 years brought healing and guided us and prepared us for all that we are. My friend, my mentor, we still talk about every week. Pastor Wayne Mancari, could you just say welcome again? And we want to talk about legacy and how the story that we are in the middle of has to continue through us, that we need to pass the torch. You'll see this scripture, Ephesians 3. It's on in your family guide, your anniversary guide, pages 5 and 6 is where we are. And I'm going to ask you to look up at the screen and to read this out loud with me this morning. Would you do that with me now? Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. You know, half of our church wasn't born when a group of men and women decided that God was calling them to create Cornerstone Church in Chester. And some of those have passed and been on with the Lord, and they couldn't ever have imagined us here today. They couldn't ever imagine Ethiopia and India and the Jeff Davis Corridor and wonderful public schools and gifts of discipling and how we worship in Spanish and in English and in sign language. They couldn't imagine it, but God always had them to be a part of it. And we need to recognize that this world has a way of shrinking our vision down to right here, right now, just about me. That's the world we live in. And yet, the Bible says that there's a God who knew our story before we ever began, who planned people and places and times that when it was time for us to grow, for us to fulfill the purpose God had for us, we would be in this moment through all the stories that came before us. We're always supposed to live by faith, and the father of faith is Abraham. And you'll see in this next slide a story about Abraham that I think is really important for us today. If you look at this passage in Genesis chapter 15, if you recall the story of Abraham, he was called to be the father of many, many nations. And yet at the time of this scripture, he didn't even have one son. And God had called him to have faith, to trust that what seemed impossible. And I want you to think about this today, that his life was more important than he realized. Just like your life is way more important in the legacy and the work of God for history than you realize. And he was in this place where God gave him this promise, but he didn't feel like he had any ability to fulfill it. Most of us are we're pretty quick to mention all our shortcomings and our failures and how the world titles us and labels us and our history. And we think, well, this is, you know, I'm just not that important. I can't possibly, all these promises I see in the Bible, that can't possibly be me God is speaking to. And that was Abraham saying, God, you've got this incredible promise, but how me? Like me? Are you kidding me? And it says that when God wanted to strengthen Abraham, when he wanted to strengthen his faith and move him forward, this is what he did. God took Abraham, whoop, go back one more for me, thank you. God took Abraham, and what he did there is he took Abraham outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then God said, so shall your offspring, so shall your legacy, the meaning of your life be. And it says, Abraham believed the Lord. God brought Abraham outside. You can move to that slide now. And he made him look at the stars. Stars you and I don't get to see very much in our kind of light-polluted world. And as he did that, he said, Abraham, I want you to look up. And I want you to see these stars. And I want to see this work. And I want you to have faith. Now, if you know anything about astronomy and the idea of science and the history of our universe, you know that when Abraham looked up, he was seeing the past. Scientists will tell us that there are a small percentage of stars that are, the light we're seeing is only 4 years old. But the majority of the stars in the sky that you see, the light you're seeing right now, it's 400 years old. You see, when God had a plan for Abraham and he needed to strengthen his faith, God used the light of the past to strengthen Abraham's belief in the present. And that's God's word for us today. That God used the light of the past to cause Abraham to have faith in the present. God always chooses people to let his light shine through them. And when we think of the words of Ephesians 3:20, God will do more than we can ask or imagine. We usually only think of our lifetime. We just think about now. But that's the wrong perspective, because God is this God of the generations, and he's planned to use your life and my life beyond our generation to touch people that we haven't asked for and to do things with the light that came from our life to touch people we never even imagined. That's the significance of your life and of mine. I want you to think of these words in this next slide, that God had plans to use your life for more than your lifetime. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Because we seem to look at the characters in the Bible and we put them up on this pedestal and we think, oh, they're really special. They're not like us. No, no, no. They were just men and women who chose to have faith. And they were learning that if they would let God use their life, that some of it they would see in their lifetime, but most of it would be for people and places they never imagined, they never thought of before. Because God's light is eternal. And when it shines through you, it doesn't stop shining just because you go to be in heaven. That's the gift. You and I, we are living in the blessing. We are strengthened in faith because people 40 years ago decided to believe in God and trust him for things that seemed impossible. That strengthens us now. And we are called to do the same thing, to realize that there is work and choices that we're making because God wants to do through our life more than we can ask for or imagine. This is the saying of the day in this next slide. God's calling us to shine today to change tomorrow. Would you say that with me? Shine today, change tomorrow. There are choices we make today for people we haven't asked for, people we can't imagine, that the light of what we do now is going to reach them in a moment when they need to have faith. That's the story of what we hear throughout Cornerstone history. Men and women who decided in their day to shine, and it changed our tomorrow. We're going to look at Abraham's life, because not only was he strengthened in faith, but his light is what shines on us and strengthens our faith. So he lived a certain kind of life that you and I can live, and it's my privilege to now share this message with the generations of our leadership. And we're going to look at Abraham's life, and we're going to look at what he did in his today that changed tomorrow. And let it be a decision for us. God, I choose to shine today to change tomorrow. Would you welcome Dr. Bob Roden?
Yeah.
Thank you. I know some of you are already counting when you see three preachers up here. And you say, I need a calendar, not a watch. Pastor Sean's last word to us was, a good sermon does not need to be long and a bad one shouldn't be. So I want to talk in the next 8 to 10 minutes about Abraham stepping out in faith. That's exactly what he did. What is faith? Hebrews says faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. This five-letter word is life-changing. Every day we live by faith. Faith is literally acting on what you believe. Every day you do that, you act on what you believe. I sat on that stool a moment ago because I believed it would hold me. It was an act of faith. You sitting on the chair because you believe it will hold you. So faith is taking a step. And as my friend Dick Foth often says, faith only works in the dark. When you really don't know what the next step is. I think this is just well illustrated by Indiana Jones. Yeah? In the movie, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. In the film, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Harrison Ford plays Indiana Jones, a daring archaeologist who travels the world in search of treasures. In this film, Indiana and his father are searching for the Holy Grail, the cup reputed to have been used by Christ at the Last Supper. Indiana's father is shot just at the end of their quest. With his father dying, Indiana's search for the Grail takes on new intensity because the cup is said to bring healing to those who drink from it. With his father groaning in the background, Indiana walks ahead, following an ancient book that gives clues to guide him through a maze of obstacles to the place where the Grail is hidden. He comes to the brink of a chasm deeper than the eye can see. There's no visible way for him to cross the chasm. Indiana is faced with the impossible, and he sees as the sheer cliff edge and the vast gulf beneath him. Then, as he studies his guidebook, his face relaxes in relaxation, in realization, and he says, it's a leap of faith. With his father whispering, you must believe, boy, you must believe. Indiana looks straight ahead, gathers his courage, and slowly raises one foot into the empty air in front of him. Let's watch it.
You must hurry.
Come quickly.
It's a leap of faith. Right.
You must believe, boy. You must believe.
If faith is acting on what we believe, faith sees and dares in the day of overwhelming difficulty. When West End stepped out and started Cornerstone Church in 1979, with days of difficulty for us, we were trying to put up a new building. We had financial pressures. Some of the cream of the crop of the people of the congregation lived in this area and were going to be a part of this new church. But faith steps out.
Amen.
Even in times of overwhelming difficulty or challenge.
Amen.
I'm so glad West End had the courage to take that step.
Praise God.
We looked for adjacent possibilities, and look what is here today. Faith also acts with courage and the day of opportunity.
Yeah.
There was a young couple in Erie, Pennsylvania, named Gary and Sharon Williamson, that we got acquainted with and learned they were from Chester, just area. Their family lived here. They were interested in coming back and maybe being a part of a church here. Gary left a secure job with UPS, and they had the things that they needed. And all we could promise them was a salary less than what they were getting, but saying, with God's help, we can do this. And Gary and Sharon Williamson took a step of faith in the day of opportunity.
Amen.
And look what the Lord has done.
Praise God.
Look what God has done. Amen. Amen. And I would like to say, just an aside to that as well, when Wayne Mancari and Diane stepped into this place, there
right.
were challenges as well, and they took a step of faith.
That's right.
And then when Sean and his wife stepped into this next place following the leadership of Wayne Mancari, it was a step of faith. Every person who steps into ministry takes a step of faith, some with more challenges than others. And finally, faith lights the way for others to follow.
Amen.
I mean, all you have to look around here today and say, wow, because some people took a step of faith. If they took a step of faith, others have followed, and hundreds are gathered here today because somebody took the light, and rather than shining it on themselves, it was a light shining out from within them to reach other people and to see other generations. Faith is really taking a step sometimes when you can't exactly know where you're going. And finally, this Ephesians passage reminds me that this church has the potential to go beyond all limits. That's why the Ephesians passage, there are no limits on the Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 passage. God is able to take us into the future beyond all limits.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful that he had people like Wayne Mancari who came and were part of the legacy that's here and is going to talk about also what God can do for us in the future. Would you welcome Wayne Mancari, please?
Hey, hey.
I'm going to invite you to stand with me. Everybody just stand up for a moment. There's a tradition biblically. Whenever there's a celebration, And this is a major celebration. 40 is an amazing number in life and in the Bible. It's a crossover number, what I call a threshold number. 40 is a number when you enter into something new.
Amen.
As we heard earlier, that's when the children of Israel crossed out of the wilderness into the promises God had for them. It's when Jesus came out of the wilderness into his ministry filled with the Holy Spirit. It's when Noah came out of the ark to a new season. This is a threshold to a new season. And while we celebrate the past, and while we're grateful for the past, and we're going to celebrate that, we also anticipate the future. Amen?
Amen.
There's a great passage of scripture in Psalm 47 that's a scripture that was accompanying celebrations in the Bible. And here's what it says: clap your hands and shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, for God rises up in the midst of shouts of joy. And I just believe we have a moment here to thank God for what he's done in our church, what he's done in our community, what he's done in our lives, what he's done around the world, and what he will yet do. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this is not like a golf game where everybody goes like this, okay? I know we all like Tiger Woods, and we're all proud of what he just did, but we're not looking for a golf clap here. I'm looking for shouts of joy, of celebration of God's faithfulness. You think you got that? Because this is even better than UVA, folks, okay? So let's give thanks and praise for his faithfulness. Hallelujah! We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness. You're a great and mighty God. We rejoice in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There is a powerful passage of scripture that's written from Paul to the Romans and from the Holy Spirit to us. And we read in the 15th chapter of Romans these words: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. And that's what we're really hoping. We've talked about faith. We're going to talk about hope. This comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, we're in a threshold. We're ready to cross into a new season. As you're being seated, turn to somebody next to you, actually two or three people, and say, hope is rising.
Hope is rising.
Saw the video clip. How many know that the first step is the hardest?
That's right.
The first step is the hardest. And I am so deeply grateful that West End Assembly of God, under the leadership of Pastor Roden, they were only 10 years old as a church themselves. They had started as a small group of just a handful of people, 10 years of growth in the middle of their own circumstances. This man came out of the tent, looked up at the stars, and said, I think there's something that can shine in Chester. Amen?
Amen.
And I am just so grateful for Pastor Roden's leadership, not only in that moment of stepping out of faith, but consistently throughout my entire time here, the last 30-plus years, his faithful mentorship and leadership. We're so grateful for West End and our own stargazing at Abraham himself. Let's just thanks again to Pastor Roden. Love you, buddy. The first step is the hardest. He talked about Gary and Sharon. They moved here from Erie, Pennsylvania. They had a vision that God could put some stars here and do some amazing miracles and things that could change this community. And as you heard Gary in the opening video, they had saved some money to buy a house, but they opened up in the plumbing shop on Centralia Road. It was just a hollow, empty, long room with nothing in it. West End had committed to pay Gary's salary for the first year. So they started meeting and praying and gathering, but they needed chairs. They needed carpet. And so God spoke to Gary and Sharon to sacrifice. They took all of their savings that they had for their house. They emptied it out, and they bought the chairs. They bought everything there. They took those first steps of faith. And ever since then, there's been people who've taken steps of faith because they believed that God had something and they had a hope in their heart for what God would yet do. Many of you who have been here for a while were part of those first steps of sacrifices. Every weekend when you come to the Cornerstone campus, that building, those chairs, that holy ground you gather on is because people gave up vacations. People delayed buying new homes. People delayed buying cars so they could sacrifice and take those first steps to make this church. And everything you experience is because people sacrificed 40 years ago, 30, 20, 10 years ago. It's all about sacrificing in hope for a legacy that God has. And then let me tell you what happened. God's favor was so great on Cornerstone that even though Weston had promised to pay his salary for the first year, from the very first Sunday, Cornerstone was self-sustaining. They never had to give him a penny. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, wow. Let's just give God thanks and praise for that. I want to go back to that passage Pastor Sean gave us from Genesis chapter 15. And here's what it says. God took Abraham outside and said, "Look up at the heavens, count the stars, if indeed you can count them." And then God said, "So shall your offspring or your legacy be." And Abraham believed the Lord. We've got to look up. We've got to see the possibilities. We've got to have hope and anticipate a legacy. God has a legacy through you. And in that moment, Abraham held his tomorrows in his hands on that day. Just like the children of Israel, as they got ready to go out of the wilderness, they held their tomorrows in their hands today. And you hold the future of Cornerstone in your hands today. As we cross over on this threshold, the sacrifices that have built buildings and launched ministries and moved into Shady Hill, all of that is because God calls us to be a family that demonstrates his love. I am so grateful for the 22 years that you were so important in our lives as a family. You provided a safe place for us to grow as our kids went through the Chesterfield County school system. You provided a safe place for us to develop ministry and love this community. I'm just so grateful for the gifts you gave to us during that time. One of the greatest gifts was that, as you know, as a parent, you pray every day for God to lead your kids to the right direction. And the best gift you gave us was Jessica in Timothy's life. I'm so grateful for her. And it's great to have Tim and Jess with us. Stand up, you guys. This is our son and his wife, Jessica. And no amount of sacrifice could buy those kind of things. So what happens is when we give what's in our hands in hope, God gives us what we could never come up with on our own. Because in those moments we plant seeds. We're thinking about here and now. God's thinking about generations. He's thinking about the future, and we have no idea how our choices are going to alter what's about to happen. In fact, if you want to know where all this is headed, there's a powerful scene in the book of Revelation that God gives to John about what's going to happen at the end of time. And here's what we read in Revelation chapter 7. John says, "Behold, a great multitude that no one could number." Does that sound familiar? Stars in the sky that no one could count. "From every nation and all tribes and all peoples and all languages standing before the throne." That's God's ultimate plan. His hope is that people of every nation, tribe, and tongue are going to join together lifting praise to him. That's why he's called us to this community, to get our community ready for that. God so loved the world that he sent his son, and God so loved Chesterfield, he sent you.
That's right.
Not just to touch people like you. But it's a place for us to ever be broadening the legacy God has for us. Amen?
Amen.
Este es el día que hizo el Señor. Tengo mucho gozo en mi corazón el día de hoy. Feliz aniversario, Cornerstone, donde todos son bienvenidos, donde hermoso vive, donde todo es posible. Amen? Amen. Muchas, muchas bendiciones para ustedes. Amen? God has a plan for us to embrace our entire community.
Right.
To love them and to reach out and to bless so that we can be a demonstration here on earth what it's like in heaven when people from every tribe and tongue and language come and gather together in the name of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's give God thanks and praise for his faithfulness. There's a great passage of scripture that the prophet Jeremiah writes. It's a command to people who live in a community. And here's what it says. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And it goes on to say, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope, and a future. Part of God's hope for us comes in this moment of seeking the peace of the community God's called us to. What a powerful display, having our community leaders here, people we've prayed for and loved and served with, and that we're continued to call. We are not isolated. We are not separated. Our legacy is intertwined with the city, the community to which God's called us, and that's why we come. We're on a threshold now of 40 years. I'm grateful for the past. I'm grateful for what God's done. But we, like that passage says, can't begin to imagine all that God has prepared for us.
Amen.
We're here because of the sacrifices of the past. In fact, there's a great quote I want to put up there. Thanks again, Randy, for your ministry and for being here. Here's what it says. Sacrifices of those in the past bring hope today. And then my sacrifice today brings hope for tomorrow. Let's read that together. Sacrifices of those in the past bring hope today. My sacrifice today brings hope for tomorrow. This is an important understanding for us. Our culture is so centered in me and my and what I have and what I want and what I experience. The Word of God is centered in something else. It's about hoping not only for ourselves, but for those around us. Just a few minutes ago, we did what children of Israel did at celebrations. They clapped, they shouted. That's not the only command for biblical celebrations. When you read through the Old Testament, every time you see the people of God celebrating what God's done, here's a passage of scripture that accompanies it. You can find it in Exodus, you can find it in Deuteronomy, and it says, no one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Let's read that together. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Who appears before the Lord empty-handed? No one. That means none of us should come before the Lord empty-handed. And what I want us to understand is we get to plant seeds. We get to believe in advance and hope for what could happen by the 45th anniversary, by the 50th, by the 55th, by the 60th, what God can do in the generations to come. And I'm going to ask you to put that hope into practice. In your bulletin, I want you to reach in and pull out your legacy offering envelope. As I've been praying for you over the last months, I asked Pastor Sean, would you give me the opportunity to challenge our Cornerstone family? Because we hold our tomorrows in our hands today.
That's right.
And at the end of this service, in addition to our tithes and offerings, which has been gently stapled to this, you will see, in addition to that, a special legacy offering envelope. And I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord, how can I be part of the legacy of this church? So what I want you to do, first of all, is write your name on that legacy offering envelope. Go ahead, write your name there. Some of you are still looking at me. Just write your name there. You might not be able to give anything today, but I believe that God is asking us, if we have hope for the future, then what happened to Abraham is as soon as he went out and counted the stars and he said, do you believe? God said to Abraham, offer me a sacrifice. And so I'm going to ask you to prayerfully consider what the Lord's asking you. I think God's spoken to me that some of you are going to put $4,000 in. If you just had a heart attack, it's not you. Some of you, God's going to move to put $400 in. Some of you's going to move to a $40 in. Some of it's going to be some crazy number unrelated to that at all. But I just believe that God wants us to put into practice this biblical process that leads to hope. In fact, originally, when you have a vision, it starts in faith. You step out in faith and it leads to hope. Next is our response, which hope leads to sacrifice. And the result is that our sacrifice leads to a legacy. Amen. In faith, we step out. In hope, we sacrifice. In sacrificing, God brings a legacy. We can't imagine what God has in store for us as we look up and see the possibilities. I want to read you one more time that passage from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, except this time in the Message series. And here's what it says. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. And it goes on to say, glory to God in the church, glory to God in Jesus, glory down all the generations, glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. And that's what we do in this moment. We release the glory of God throughout generations to come in what we bring and give. There's a spiritual law in the Bible that's very clear. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You sow corn, you'll get corn. You sow bitterness, you'll get bitterness. Whatever you plant, and what we're about to do is plant in the future, believing for what God's going to do, because your future at Cornerstone in this community is in your hands today as you sacrifice in hope. 8.5 years ago, when God called Diane and I to California, we were able to leave because, one, we trusted God, we trusted you, but most of all, I had a profound trust in this man. I love Sean, I respect Sean, I honor Sean, and I hand the sermon to Sean.
We've been given a great gift. I mean, these have been our leaders. People that still pray for us. I received a note from Sharon Williamson, who's now remarried. Pastor, the founding pastor's wife, who worked on staff here, she wrote a note and said, you know, I'm sorry I can't be here. But then, to my surprise, she said, but please accept this legacy offering for $1,000 for what God's going to do next to Cornerstone. And the seat in which I trusted and I fell off of, and it hurt, but it was okay. We've got to step in faith. One of the things that's a little negative about how we do church is you're set up to be a spectator in our service, which is not what church is about. Nobody is a spectator. We're all part of this. We're all living this legacy out. We're all going to leave some kind of legacy. And we've got to be really careful what we're sowing. We've got to step in faith. We need to sacrifice in hope. I mean, what's your sacrifice? Because you're sacrificing something today. Some of you are sacrificing your marriage, your family. Sometimes I sacrifice those things. I'm sacrificing something today. Because I've got to live by faith. I've got to step out. I've got to hope that something is what life is worth living for. And I sacrifice according to it. I just want you to think in 4 years from now or 40, what are you sacrificing now? What's it going to say about your life and where is it going to put you? Is it going to continue to put you in this place that says, God, you're my hope. Everything about my life is yours. And we've got to step in faith. We've got to sacrifice in hope. And then this last thought, we've got to walk together in love. Because everybody's about like, oh yeah, Pastor Sean, that's right. I've got a legacy to leave. God's talking to me. I'm going to do this thing. It's about what I'm going to start. It's like, yeah, it is totally about you, and it's totally not about you at the same time. It's about us. Because it occurred to me as I was reading through this passage, here God promised Abraham this legacy, but it was all dependent on one thing. That he walked in love with his wife. Right? It was all about Sarah, his wife. A matter of fact, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 11, it says that by faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father. And so from this one man came descendants as numerous as the what? The stars in the sky. When Abraham was faithful to walk in love with his wife, his legacy prospered. When he didn't, it jeopardized it. Remember when Abraham lied about his wife being his sister in Egypt? And it almost came to the end of everything God planned. Then remember when God said, you know, when Abraham was like, you know, my wife's barren, she can't accomplish this, I'll find another to help me accomplish this. And there was Hagar. And when he chose, he trusted in his idea of what would leave a legacy. It actually created chaos in his life. But every time that Abraham was faithful to the one person, to the bride in his life, his legacy prospered. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus has one bride, right? It's the church. It's the church. And what we don't hear a lot of in our culture, because our culture is all about me and I, and it's not that that's not a part of it, but what you and I don't hear is it's not about us. It's not about me individually. It's about us. And I'm only going to leave a legacy according to my ability to walk in love. Think about who's left a legacy in your life. Might have been great if they had money or if they had education. Might have been great if they could open a few doors for you. But what was it really? They loved you well. They loved you well. And most likely, they loved you in a moment when you weren't too lovable. That's legacy. And we've just got to remember, in our culture that even wants to twist church into being just about me, and when that person, when I look at the bride of Christ and say, they're barren, I got to go find somebody else. I got to find my career or outside of, no. It's always connected to the bride. Always. And that's where God teaches us to love and be like, you rubbed me the wrong way today, and I'm still going to show up and care about you. That music was too loud, too soft. Not my style, not my tempo. It's cold in here, it's hot in here. It's whatever in here. Because we're a church that's dared to believe that God brings different people together. Because what's the point of us if we're not any different than the world? We've talked about, and I think about our leaders. Man, it's a nasty climate out there right now, and there's this hate culture that's pretty acceptable, and it's, if you don't hate who I hate, then I hate you. And there's a lot of pressure on our leaders to do what's right in the midst of what's not necessarily politically correct anymore. We are going to have ability in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in the places we do business to be different. And as we do that, it's about inviting them into a church home. Say, hey, you're not going to just find you there, but isn't that what our community's looking for? A Prince of Peace for everybody.
That's right.
A Prince of Peace for everybody. You know, Cornerstone had its days when people struggled with the bride. They had their days when, I don't know, I want to be here anymore. And yet there's a legacy of people in this room who decide, I'm going to be faithful to love that bride because my legacy is attached to her. So I just want you to see this next slide. Each of our individual legacies is only as great as our ability to walk together in love as a church family. Because everybody thinks greatness is up here. This is not where greatness is. Greatness is who's sitting next to you right now and how well you're loving them. That's greatness. That's where it counts. That's where everything about your legacy is made. And I want to encourage you today, we love God the most when we love the people around us, and when we love his bride well. Because then we'll see things that we can't imagine. Didn't Jesus tell us, John 13, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. By your cool building, by your flashy t-shirts, by the way by the way you love each other. Jesus told us in Matthew 5, you, plural, together, are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Come on, Cornerstone. Shine today. Change tomorrow.
Amen.
Shine today. Love people well. Would you say it one time with me? Shine today. Change tomorrow. We do it. We step in faith. We sacrifice in hope. And then we walk together in love. When we think, oh, this isn't worth it. I got things to do. No, that's the thing to do. Learn to walk with that person in love. Learn to love the people around you. And I don't know what God has in the next 40 years. You know, we're a church of four generations. We're a church of three languages. We're the church where people come from every background, politically, socioeconomic. We've been here 40 years. We've been here 4 days. And that's the way God planned it. Put us together. Say, come on. Let the world see you and go, that's got to be God. And what God wants to do next is in you. In this next slide, I'm going to invite you to not be a spectator. But just as you're thinking about your offering, I want you to look at your connection card. And I want you to write down a prayer that we're going to keep for this church, for our community. And you can write it however you want to write it, but I just kind of thought we'd start it this way. Lord, whether you do it in 40 days or 40 years, make Cornerstone your legacy of light too. And the next part's up to you. Man, what's your passion? What does God want to do? What people? What part of our community? Man, did you come from? Did you get through? Do you care about? Say, God, if Cornerstone could be anything, man, let it be this. Let people 40 years from now see what we did for this group of people, for this part of our community, for people who we weren't even thinking about, or, you know, half of the church wasn't even mad. But I imagine, I had this dream that maybe one day we could be a church for them. And I'm going to ask you in this moment, we're going to bring before the Lord our offering in a moment, and we're going to bring in this prayer. Because it counts. Your prayer counts. God, make Cornerstone this. Would you take a moment and write down that prayer? As you're writing that down and preparing, part of our legacy is four generations. And as you've heard of leadership that was willing to hand off leadership to another and another, so this morning we want to take a moment to recognize one of our young leaders and confer on her a greater sense of authority and power in our church, because we want to be a church family that raises up the next generation. I'm going to ask the Reverend Cassie Davis,
yeah,
and if her family's here with us, to come out here. Would you welcome them?
Yeah, girl.
Mom and Dad is with us as well. And as you're writing down that prayer and thinking about it, we want to take a moment. When Cassie came to us, she was already reverend, already certified in the Assemblies of God, and we talked about, as this was her first leadership outside of school, that we take these first 2 years and train and mentor. And we knew the Lord had always called her as a pastor. And we wanted to take this moment in front of all of you to lay hands upon her, as we recognize that she's gone from youth director to pastor at Cornerstone, youth pastor, and that we are behind her, and we are part of believing in the next generation that's going to lead the way for what only that generation understand needs to happen. So if you would, I ask Pastor Brandon if he would read scripture over her, then we're going to lay our hands on her in this moment together. And I'll indicate a moment for you to raise your hand in blessing. Pastor Brandon.
Reading from exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ.
Reading from 1 Peter chapter 5. So I exhort you as an elder of the body of Christ and a witness of his sufferings, as a partaker of his glory, that you would shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not as domineering over those in your charge, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory.
Would you raise a hand of blessing? Lord, we thank you for Cassie. We thank you for her generation. We thank you for the gifts and the power and the work of light that you have through her to generations to come. May she step in faith and sacrifice and hope. May she be an example of walking together in love. Lord, we thank you for her willingness to grow, Lord, to learn. We thankful, dear God, for the family she loves and the families that have loved her. And together, Lord, we've all grown. We receive her gift. We recognize her calling of pastor now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said,
amen.
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 This moment, if Wayne and Dr. Rowan would stay here, you've got yours in front of you, right? I'm going to ask you to stand if you would. In a moment, our youth and our children are going to lead us in worship to take the offering as we believe in that next generation. Here they come. Church, this is Shine Today, Change Tomorrow, right? Mom, Dad, family, friend, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa. Hey, shine today because it matters for their tomorrow, right? It matters that we step in faith, that we sacrifice in hope, that we walk together in love. I can't tell you how important it is as a church family. You know, sometimes when we're struggling in our generation, our time, it's like, no, walk in love because those children need that church family. Love them well. I'm seeing waving going on and mom's dead. As we're taking this moment of faith, I want you to hear that your steps of faith, both to love the bride of Christ well, but to love each other in your homes. Praying that it's going to be a brand new beginning. As Pastor Wayne said, it's a threshold. The old doesn't stay, the new comes. God wants to do more than you can ask for or imagine in your homes, in your workplaces, in your life. It's time to believe that by stepping out in faith, sacrificing in hope, and walking together in love. To pray for our legacy offering, that's going to be your prayer as well as your gift. We've got three generations of coffins. So Dick, Matt, Brooke, if you'd come. It's three generations of our church, and we want them to pray together that we would continue to shine today and change tomorrow for the glory of God. After we do that, the ushers are going to pass the buckets around to receive, and please just make it a moment between you and the Lord. Get ready, because the youth are not planning to do a slow, quiet song for us, okay? I mean, we are four generations, right? Come on, Dick and Matt, if you come up here. We're going to ask Brooke if she'd pray over our legacy offering.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the past 40 years and all you've done through the church. We all pray for the next 40 years that you will use us in the same way. I pray for this offering that you will use us, that we will use it to further your work in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, youth. Children, it's all yours. Lead us.
Good morning, Cornerstone. We're going to sing.